Today on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about 11 lessons that home buyers need to know. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Thank you so much for joining me for here, episode number 27. My name is Silas Lindenstein. If you are joining us for the first time, I am the host of this program. I'm a real estate agent in the Seattle, Washington area. But hey, even if you're not in the Seattle, Washington area, this is still a podcast for you. This is a podcast about empowering and educating home buyers all across the nation. So the lessons here will be applied everywhere else. Buying a house is buying a house when it comes down to it. If you are coming to this podcast because you're like, oh, I got referred to this as the step-by-step on how to buy a home. Yes, it is. The first 10 episodes of this program are step-by-step process of buying a home. After that, we go into a lot more different questions that get answered and different themes for it. So if you want just those step-by-steps, go to the first 10. And also, if you want an ebook of those 10 steps so that you can so you can read it, so you don't want to just listen to me all the time, go ahead and email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com and go ahead and say, Silas, I'd love to get your ebook on the ultimate guide to buying a home. Can you send that to me? Tell me where you're from. I like to know where I'm sending things. And also, of course, if you are in the market for a home, if you are looking for a good real estate agent, I have created a network. I have networks of real estate agents all across the country. I'm hooking people up every week with agents all over the place. Some places I'm kind of shocked that I got somebody there. But go ahead and message me and say, hey, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, or wherever you're from. Do you have an agent you can hook me up with? Now, I only want to send only if you're seriously going to buy a home or you're looking to, you know, talk to somebody. Or if you already have an agent that you're happy with, I don't want to waste anyone's time on this. But if you do need an agent, I do vet the people first. So I'll refer you to someone solid. Or if you're unhappy with who you're working with and you want to drop them, I got someone for you, I guess. So email me, silas@silasgetsreal.com, and I'll connect you with somebody. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, you can work with me. So yeah, celebrity podcaster, Silas Lindenstein, as your real estate agent. All right, here we go. Episode number 27. So the title of this one is 11 Lessons That Home Buyers Need to Know. Why 11? Because I just couldn't cut one more out to make it an even 10, to be honest. This is going great. I was putting this together. So, lesson number one. And by the way, if this is podcast form, but I'm going to put this into a nice little PDF as well. So if you want the 11 lessons, you can email me as well for this and follow along, I guess. I'll put graphics. I'll make it real pretty. Number one, decide location versus size of home before searching. So here's important. Sometimes people look at it and say, oh, I want a 1500 square foot home. I need a 2000. That's what I need. I want one bed, two bath. Or not one bed, two bath. That'd be ridiculous. I want two bed, one bath, or three bed, one bath. That's funny. I can't believe I said that. People decide on that, and then they're looking all over the place for it. But here, fundamentally, everything in your house can change. You can change almost anything. You can change square footage. You can add bedrooms, add bathrooms. You can do all that, but you cannot change the location. Location, it's like, you know, the old saying in real estate or in retail. Remember, location, 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 the three most important things. It's for your house. You gotta pick that location you want and then find something that will service you there. you know, just wait if you need to, but you get in there. I totally understand if you're like, well, I can't afford that area. Well, then don't look in that area. Find one you can afford and then find the parameters of space and stuff in that home and see what you can do. Because you just can't, you can't change the location. You can change almost everything about the house eventually. You just need the money. Speaking of, lesson number two, sweat equity will save you thousands. It can and will. Like, I'm right now in the midst of painting my home because I can't bring myself to pay somebody, right? I had someone in my family was a painter. I can't do it. I think I'll do a nice job, but it's because it costs thousands of dollars to have someone come paint my home. It's a lot of prep, but with a little time and sweat, I'm saving thousands of dollars. I've installed at least one door in my house. I may be installing a second. That's why I say at least. You know, there's little things around the house that I've been able to save a lot of money doing. But if those aren't done in the beginning, you can just save some money. You're like, well, I'll do that. Put some sweat equity in. But I will say, be realistic about what you consider sweat equity and how much you are willing to put in. If you know you work 80 hours a day and have no time, that's a dream, okay? But if you do picture yourself having some weekends to get stuff done, it will save you thousands. So really consider it both in the buying end of it and also as you enter homeownership, okay? Lesson number three, down payment is never a bad investment. So look, you're going to find a lot of programs that give you different, your loan officer may find different deals. You're going to find, you know, because you can get a house for 20% down. You can have a house for 10% or 5% or 0%. Okay. Once you have it in place for the home, you know, how much you're going to put down, you know, you may find that you qualify like, hey, you can. Oh, you know what? We're actually going to qualify for the zero down one, so we're not going to use the money we saved as a down payment. The money, here's the thing. Like, sometimes people say take that money, they put it in the stock market, right? And then the stock market goes down, and then they've lost their money. If you put that money into your house, you have that equity. And yes, the houses can go down in value and it's not as much equity, but there's going to be something that you can pull from in there if you need to. And when you're going to sell the house, your payment is lower every month. The more money you put down, it opens your life up to it, right? So down payments are not a bad investment. It's a good use of your money for the down payment. There's a lot of arguments there on it's a great, you know, low interest loan. Yes, and maybe you could utilize your money elsewhere or something, but for that down payment, set yourself up on a good cycle. Go high down payment. I will say some stuff later that may counteract this, but trust me. Lesson four, school district will affect home value. Whether you have a kid or not, that school district is super important. People will be trying to get into your school district. If you pick a high school district area, people are going to pay good money to get into that school district. So it's a good investment. It's going to affect the value of your home. If you go to a place that puts no money into school, the opposite may be true. Or like if you're in a poor school district home like area, if you do what you can to get that help, even if you don't have kids, help that school district get better, right? Because a better school district is going to bring your home values up. Look at the school districts. Look at those. And if you don't have a kid, you're not thinking about that kind of stuff, right? But you got to think about in the future if that's something, even if it's not, yeah, even if it's not for you, like act like you do, because those affect home values. Building plans. You want to check with the city. Okay, lesson number five. Check building plans for the neighborhood. And this is important. You want to make sure that you know if something's going up behind you, in front of you, next door. I always recommend people drive around the block and look for stuff, for one. Second, you can go to your city hall usually and check to see if there's anything in your area. Like, what if a what if a highway is going to be built? Right, that sounds outrageous, but it could be, right? Or a playground going behind you. A playground, incidentally, if you have people with kids that want to move in later, that might be a plus to them. But if they don't, it's not. Then it's just a noisy place behind the house. So that's an iffy thing. So you should be aware. And also, you want to know if you're about to move into a house and they're about to put an apartment complex next to it. It does happen. Rezones happen, that kind of thing. So look for it. Okay. Check there, especially if it's a good deal. Good deals. There's something going on. Number six, lesson six, reserve some cash money for home improvements. There will always be stuff that you want to do when you move in. And if you're in the situation, like I don't want you going into a house broke, by the way, ever. Don't go in dead broke. You spent all your money on that house and down payment. You need a little extra money because things will pop up. They do in every home, right? Expect you want to do some home improvements. Me was painting the house. My neighbors next door, they just moved in. Now they're getting a new washer dryer. They're changing the roof. They decide, we might as well. And they want to paint their house too. We're inspiring them. But like, they have a bunch of little improvements they're doing. As much as you love a house, you get in there and you're like, oh, it's mine. What can I do? So save the money. Save some money so that you can tackle those things. You know, you don't have to do a lot at a time, but reserve some for the big ones that are going to bother you. Number seven, don't spend every dollar you qualify for. Don't spend every dollar you qualify for. That deserved to be said twice. If you qualify for $500, don't feel like you have to spend $500. You know, leave yourself some room because that means that's the max of your payment. So I'm getting concerned about how much you are of your income is going toward a home. You know, like some of you, like the qualifications on how much you're allowed to buy do not fit the Dave Ramsey model. And I don't know if you're a fan of his or not. I'm not the biggest fan, but I like some of the principles. And we do want to keep that monthly payment as low as possible for you against your gross income because life happens, right? So just because you qualify for it doesn't mean it's the right thing. Now I will say sometimes people qualify because they're not putting their spouse on and the spouse brings in a bunch of money. And so you know your rate is actually high, how much you make is actually higher, or, you know, or the spouse like income wasn't counted because they hadn't been there long enough. So that kind of thing is different, right? Then yeah, spend all as much as you qualify. But generally, if that's how much you can, just be cautious, try to get under a bit. Okay. Number eight, make sure renovations were professionally done. I'm going to tell you to put spike equity in, but I don't want to hear it from the people you bought it from, right? You want to make sure some, especially big things, electrical and that kind of stuff, that you want to make sure they actually use a contractor. And sometimes you can tell, like the people say, oh no, I'm in construction. Yeah, they're a plumber. They're not a carpenter, and it looks like it, right? So no, you want to make sure that work was done properly. Ask for permits. See if there's permits for it. Go to the city hall, pull some permits. See if they were called for these renovations that people made, right? So, and if not, you should be paying less because you might have to redo that, right? They made some big errors. So make sure they were professionally done by someone who knows it. I mean, and honestly, you can tell a lot of the time, but look, number nine, something to think about. Higher price point homes might save money over time. Let me repeat. A higher price point might save money over time. And here's the thing. I always say this. Look, you're spending the same amount of money for a house a lot of times in some areas. You're going to like, oh, a house is $500,000. Oh, but this one's $450,000. Look, you're probably going to spend $50,000 more anyway on fixer up. Like I go to the house, they're like, oh, well, I'm saving. This is $70,000 under what we were looking at the other day. I'm like, yeah, and it needs a new roof. That floor is really sketchy. You're probably going to need some bracing down there. I think I smell mold. Like, there's a lot of problems with this house. There's a reason it's $70,000 ahead. Now, so if all the stuff was already done, there's a chance it can save you money, especially by the time you get around to the projects. There's always overbidding. There's overspending. They're doing too much when they're replacing. They're not doing too much. It just costs more than you thought it did originally. But a higher priced home, sometimes it's all been done, and you can just live in it. Ugh, it's nice. Just walk in and it's done. You don't have to worry about it. It's saving you time, and then maybe you have time. You can go deliver pizzas or do some extra hobby job, right? And bring in money. So you're making a lot more money. You're not only spending money to fix it, you are have that time to work extra. Not that I want you working all the time, but you see my point. Number 10. Don't forget the cost of landscaping. Okay? Again, don't forget the cost of landscaping. A lot... You are going to be shocked at how much it costs to pay landscapers to do stuff. Whether it's you want a retaining wall in or you want just the cleanup outside and to put everything in. If that is not something you enjoy doing and where you want to put sweat equity in, new lawns, everything, the thousands of dollars it can all cost if you want land and hardscaping done dear to the outside. It's pricey. Every tree is pricey. So removing a tree is excruciatingly, it can be difficult and pricey. So that there's a lot of money out there. So if there is major landscaping, you need to think about that and know that it's going to cost you money going in. I'm putting a retaining wall in. I don't know if it's a retaining wall, but it's not retaining wall, right? It's not that bad. So it's just everything adds up. You have to get this little piece, and then the time, the labor is a lot. So you got to be able to, that's a place for sweat equity if you can do it. And especially if you do enjoy it, I'm a gardener. So I'm a gardener and landscaper now, apparently. I somewhat enjoy it. If you don't, just don't forget about it. And number 11 kind of goes back to the first one. Or the number three, the down payment. Save money for a down payment. Look, it's going to cost you more money every month if you don't have money for the down payment. That's the bottom line. And I used to be very firm on this. Let me use a zero down loan. I'll just get you into a house. I'm like, it's good and bad. People get so tight on money sometimes. Like often if you can only afford a zero down loan, it's because you don't have money. And unless you have if you have a path forward, like let's say, okay, I need a zero down loan. It's going to cost us a bunch, but my plan is I'm going to become a programmer next year and then we can refinance after a couple of years and then you're going to lower it. Then dude, that's great. That's a great idea. But otherwise, like sometimes I'm like, look, if you're renting and can't save $5,000, I don't know how you're going to own a home and save $5,000, right? It's because the home is usually more expensive. The situations that there's exceptions to this. If the place you can get is going to be cheaper, I've had that happen, cheaper to get into this condo than it is to rent an apartment. Yes. No brainer. Do that. But try to see if you can save. If you have to move in with somebody for 6 months and just mow their lawn because it's expensive, to stay there, just to save up something so you can put it down. But take that. That's why I wanted to extend this to 11 lessons. But saving money, your monthly payment, especially now, everyone knows what's going on, right? Well, I'm recording this during COVID. Who knows when you're listening to this? Money got tight for a lot of people. And so that monthly payment has become, can be a worry. So the lower that was, the less sweat people have about it. Right. So I just want you to have the lowest down payment as possible, which is why I want to get my clients the cheapest, price on a house as much as I can, because I want them to be relaxed and stress-free We all need that. We all need to be stress-free, especially now. All right, but that's it. 11 lessons that home buyers need to know. Thank you so much. That's the program. You've been wonderful. If you've enjoyed this program, please go to iTunes and rate it and leave a wonderful comment. I would really appreciate that. It helps other people that want to buy the home that have this dream find this podcast and get this valuable information. And again, if you want that ebook, go ahead and email me, silas@silasgetsreal.com. Tell me where you're from, what city, and I'll send that out to you. And of course, if you are looking for a home, whether you need a referral to an agent or you're in the Seattle, Washington area, email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com, or you can text me at 206-351-9230. My name is Silas Lindenstein with Skyline Properties. Happy home shopping.